Welcome back. The 5 o'clock hour is here. It is The Drive on 1700 The Chant. Trent and Wolfgang here. Take you to your home. We got Thursday night football coming up this evening. It'll be the Packers against the Seahawks. A good one there, as all our regional teams will be playing in primetime this week. The Packers tonight, Bears hosting the Vikings, Sunday night football, and Monday night football with the Chiefs and the Rams. And we got you covered as we do each and every weeknight, Thursday night, Sunday night, and Monday night football here with Westwood One and the Chiefs Radio Network on Monday night. Wolfgang, here we are, an hour to go and an hour left of the work week for you. Off tomorrow, as we have UNI basketball. They're playing down in the beautiful Paradise Jam down in the Virgin Islands. So we'll have the Panthers against Penn right after that wraps up. We'll go right into high school football, the state championship game with Dowling Catholic and their matchup against undefeated Cedar Falls. Going for one for the other thumb. Six consecutive 4A titles.
You had the Valley Dowling game right, as did most people that I knew. I was like, well, you know, Valley, you know, beat them the first time around, but everybody I'm talking to that knows anything about Valley and Dowling knew that Dowling was going to win that game. It was kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watched the game, by the way. I watched it on YouTube and then listened to 1700 over it, by the way.
Yeah.
Good job out of you guys, by the way. Very good job. And it was pretty obvious. I'm not saying if they played 10 times, Valley would never win, but I think the best team won that game. I really do.
Yeah, and they were down 17-0 to Bettendorf. Dowling was in the semifinals, came roaring back. There were some calls that went the way of the Maroons. they got a few breaks of that one, but what a game it was. Quadruple overtime, and they get hold on for the victory and play Cedar Falls. That'll be tomorrow night. We'll take the air depending on the UNI game and when exactly that one finishes up, but hoping by about 6:45 or so get you a pregame before the 7 o'clock kickoff with the Tigers and the Maroons here on 1700 The Champ. More basketball tonight. Well, let's get into it here. It's our top 5 at 5 each and every day. We hit the biggest topics across the world of sports. It's brought to you today by Complete Auto Wraps. You have a vehicle, your small business, you're looking a way to advertise, get your name, your business out there. Do it at a low cost and do it with somebody that's going to do it better than what you can find at any dealership and is going to do it at a much fairer price. And that is Corby with Complete Auto Wraps. Do that. Maybe you're just looking for a new look without painting your vehicle. Corby's got some pictures up on his website where he can transform your vehicle. Does unbelievable work. It's Complete Auto Wraps. You can find more information, CompleteAutoWraps.com. All right, here we go, Wolfgang. Let's get started and make our way around five topics.
Number one.
There we go. Hit the wrong button.
Can I do it? Do you mind? Number one.
You got it. You nailed it. You nailed it.
You did that on purpose just to throw me a bone.
Yeah, I got you. All right, here we go. Let's start at the top. And though I mentioned Packers, Seahawks, I know where my eyes are going to be tonight, and that is on the deuce, 8:30 tip-off with the Hawkeyes and the Oregon Ducks. Oregon comes into this matchup ranked in the top 15 nationally. Bowl, creating a lot of headlines.
Mm-hmm.
They got an outstanding point guard that is back. They're going to be without Lewis King, another one of their youngsters that a lot of expectations coming in. But tough matchup for the Hawkeyes here. I'm leaving this open-ended. What do you anticipate we're going to see tonight?
So this is one of those things that I really enjoy when I talk to people and we all think we know something or something, you know, really sticks out to us. And you've got me into gambling, even though it's fake money, but I'm so into this right now. And it's kind of like a practice run before I put, you know, the house payment, the water bill, you know, cable TV, you know, NFL Sunday ticket on the line. So this is fun practice. So far, so good. But everybody,
yeah, you're up $1,200 right now.
Is that, and that's three, that's 4 weeks, three?
4 weeks. Yeah.
4 weeks, okay.
I'm up 450. I'm on the positive side. I'm happy about that.
And that's really good.
And I was gone last Friday, and I wasn't able to give out my picks.
Yeah, so that's kind of skewed a little bit.
Well,
yeah.
And I would have given you Northwestern on the money line, and but okay. That aside, I got some money line picks.
In fact, say you would have, I believe you.
We're going to be making our picks later on this hour, because since we are off tomorrow, because of UNI basketball, we'll be making our picks. Make sure to tune in and see if you can make some money with Wolfgang like he is. Plus 1,200. That's impressive.
Man, no, that feels good.
That's a profit of $300 a week. Can't handle $300 in your pocket every week.
Oh my gosh, can you imagine the great dinners we'd have? Oh, my God, dude. Seriously, the stakes.
I'm waiting for the comeback.
The lobster.
I'm waiting for the comeback the other way. I know it's going to happen at some point, but we're having fun with it right now. Ducks, Hawkeyes, this line, 4. There's some 3.5s earlier this morning. I'll tell you what, me, I am heavy-fisted on the Ducks. I jumped on it yesterday when the line initially came out, emptied the bank account. It's going to be the difference between the Condens having a big turkey dinner and maybe having to go to McDonald's for Thanksgiving. I mean, that's how much I'm going after this game.
How fast do I got to go here, Trent? You shouldn't be doing that. That's too much. I understand why you did it. I have other people coming at me saying the same thing, going, really? And these are Hawkeye fans that like the Hawkeyes and think, oh, we got a shot at being decent this year. And they see the, you could get -3.5 Oregon, if you're going to take Oregon, as of 11 or 12 today. I don't know if it's still there. There was one
it's
place.
It's 4.
It's now 4.
Yeah.
You could get -3.5. You might even still be. I'll check it in the break. But to me, it's one of those things you look at and you roll your eyes and you go, what? I'm not getting it either. And it's also something that I think, Trent, I should stay away from because we're early in the season. So if I do bet on that, are we going to do basketball for, you know, are we going to bleed those together?
Oh, yeah, we'll make that work, absolutely.
Okay, let's bleed those together. Yeah, I think I might put a hundy on that.
Look at you jumping on. With the Ducks, that's where you're going?
Yeah, I mean, I hate to do that. I did that last week with Northwestern. I mean, if you're going to give me, if I understand Northwestern and their relationship with Iowa. 10.5 points, I get this Iowa basketball team, and I kind of know Oregon's kind of good. If Iowa somehow wins this game or only loses by 3, I'm going to come in pretty happy tomorrow.
Number 2.
Let's jump from there over to some Iowa State football this weekend. It's Texas. You'll be making your pick on that coming up a little bit later. We've talked a lot this week about David Montgomery. He'll miss the first half because of the suspension after being ejected against Baylor last week. How big of an impact do you think it's going to make in the first half of the game, Montgomery not being able to play?
A huge one. So that way when Iowa State loses and I may lose my bet, I can come back and say that was the key. Mm. That's what you do, Trent. You set people up, you know, and you set yourself up.
You're building excuses over there already.
That's what I do, man. You understand what that's all about? Building excuses. You know coaches. That's what they do, too. They say things in certain manners and stuff like that. But I don't think you might disagree with me. I think you thought maybe we were making too much. I'm talking about the media, the fans, are making too big a deal about him not being there. Mm-hmm. But I have such a high value of him that I'm willing to go there that it actually is a big thing. How big a thing, I can't even put it into analytics, into math, into words, how big that is. But it doesn't help. I'll put it that way, Trent. It doesn't help.
Number 3.
All right, let's jump over to some more college football this weekend. Texas, Iowa State, Notre Dame, Syracuse, the only games involving two ranked teams facing off against each other. Wolfgang, we saw this. It started years and years ago with Urban Meyer at Florida. They had an open date before they matched up with Florida State.
Yeah.
SEC schedule broke down that way. They said, you know what? Let's put one of our non-conference games in that spot. Give ourselves at least be able to keep in shape. It's not a bye week going into your rivalry game, but it's also going to be a lightweight. I believe this has been bad for college football. Does there need to be a rule put in place? Does there need to be a change? There's nothing this weekend. Is the SEC ruined the second to last weekend of the college football season?
I think it's kind of pathetic this weekend. I mean, we obviously really, really care about Iowa State, Texas, and the Hawkeye fans care about, they wanted to care about this game more versus Illinois. But I'm sitting here thinking about this, Trent. Should we be crapping on the SEC for what they're doing? Or should we be bowing down to them and figuring out what have you guys figured out that we haven't? Because I'm telling you, I do not trust that strength of schedule crap, Trent. Because I look at certain, and I can't give you a math formula why I hate. You know why I hate it, if that makes any sense. But I look at a schedule and I go, well, there's a blankety blank chance to win that, a blankety blank chance to win that. And well, this team actually had a harder schedule. And I look at it and go, depending on what your goal is your goal to go undefeated, have a really good season, or what is the goal? To me, I always look for a Big Ten championship or a shot at the Final Four. I mean, if you just want, like, if you want to play that stuff where the basketball teams, and you have that down with basketball, Trent. You have totally have that down. Am I putting that into words right where you say, if you look at some of that strength of schedule stuff with football and you go, do you always agree with that? Like, if you look at it,
no,
which schedule
no,
you would
no.
rather play?
No, and you know, you can bring up Sagarin, you can bring up whatever, you know, rating system that you want to use, but no, I'm with you. I don't think it's the perfect way to figure out who has the best schedule.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get into eye tests and you take analytics out of it, and that can be a problem in its own right. There is no perfect system. We have the system that we do right now, and it's a crappy week. Alabama Citadel, get your tickets now.
Number four.
Oh, Lordy.
All right, Wolfgang, let's jump over to the NFL tonight. The Packers go to Seattle to take on the Seahawks. As mentioned, we'll have the call for you here tonight on 1700 The Champ. You liking the Packers tonight?
We're going to get to see two quarterbacks, Trent, that I mean, that's must-see TV. So what am I going to do here? I'm going to be staying up late and watching all this, fast-forwarding through commercials. You got Iowa, Oregon, you got the Packers in Seattle. You're watching two quarterbacks, man, that we haven't seen a ton of, and I don't believe either of these guys actually gets as much credit as they should. They're that good. They have that much mobility. They're able to escape that much. I didn't know he was going to be that good when he was at Wisconsin. Did you?
No, not at all.
So I have not heard your opinion on him. I know you think Tom Brady's whatever the GOAT or better than or more. I think you said maybe my boy Rodgers is more talented, but you didn't get the better than or greater than.
Right.
What do you think about him? What he is now from Wisconsin? I didn't see that coming at all.
Russell Wilson?
No.
He's excellent, and here's the difference. They should have an offensive line that can block. I mean, it'd been a walking, recurring nightmare back there behind the offensive line for Russell Wilson, and now they're running the football more effectively. Rashard Penny finally got going last week. Davis has had a good couple of good games in a row. It's a different kind of Seattle team, and with it, going to make Russell Wilson, you think, more effective going forward. How about this number? Aaron Rodgers, one pick this year.
Yeah, I did 17-1, right?
17-1, absolutely crazy.
And I know you don't buy into this, but it's one factor with me. One factor. His QBR is not that great. His completion percentage is not that great. It's middle of the pack. 32 teams, I think he's 16. Well, he also throws a lot of crap away so he doesn't get killed and sacked. So how do you take that into it? Does a QBR rating go into that? So if I'm just looking at completion percentage going, oh, Aaron Rodgers is having a difficult year. Is he really? If he threw away 16 passes?
Number five.
Let's finish up here, Wolfgang, in our top five at five, brought to you by Complete Auto Wraps with tomorrow. Tomorrow night, it will be Dowling Catholic, undefeated Cedar Falls. Does the rain of parochial domination end? Does Dowling Catholic go down to the Cedar Falls Tigers tomorrow night?
I'm an expert on Cedar Falls, so I'm glad you're having me on here, Trent. Let me break down their two deep. Their left tackle, I got a problem with him, okay? I hate to say that on the air. I have no idea, Trent. But what I did see out of Dowling, I don't know how you would compare this team to their last five championships, if you even have anything to say about that. But what I saw against Valley, they looked good to me. They looked tough. They had some playmakers. Obviously, we know their coach is an absolute stud. So it's hard for me to actually pick a winner when we're in Central Iowa, so I'm going to go with Dowling. How about that? Is that all right? So I can make some friends here and we can get some advertising and for high school football and basketball in the future. Let's do that. But I don't know. But I will be listening, Trent, to you, sir.
You can hear it here, 1700 The Champ, and streaming online, 1700thechamp.com. Download, listen, and you can find us on the app. Also, if you're shut out, don't have the TV coverage, we have you covered tomorrow night with the Maroons and Cedar Falls. Taking a break, coming back, Zuba Mahente joins us next. That was the top five at five. We're back with more on The Drive, 1700 The Champ. And we are back, 1700 The Champ. It's The Drive each and every weekday from 4 until 6 o'clock. We got our weekly picks coming up next. Wolfgang and myself trying to make you a little bit of money in the upcoming football weekend. But right now we're talking with Zuba Mahente with ESPN, college football, NFL, college basketball heating up, and of course, the NBA. Zubin, good afternoon. How are things out east?
Going well, guys. How you doing?
Can't complain. Getting excited for tonight. Over in your stomping grounds, at least a drive away, but Madison Square Garden, we'll see the Hawkeyes in action. Their first test of the year against a very talented Oregon Ducks squad. I want to talk basketball with you at the top, though. But I don't want to talk college basketball, believe it or not. I want to talk the NBA, and I got to get your thoughts on what's happening with the Golden State Warriors. Draymond Green being a goober, going on, calling his teammate, Kevin Durant, a B. And we can, I think, all agree that Kevin Durant is a little bit of a B. But that aside, is this what could crumble things? What's happening here? Fill me in, Zubin.
I mean, I guess it is ironic that the idea that the only team that could beat the Warriors isn't going to be the Celtics or the Rockets or LeBron or the Raptors, that they could perhaps fall from within. So while the big question was, it's the Warriors and then the gap to two, are we getting to a point where it's actually the Warriors that would end up sinking themselves versus any sort of competition? But, you know, I kind of look at this a little bit differently from the standpoint of, to me, I think they're just going to have to come together. Steve Kerr made an announcement this afternoon. Draymond spoke publicly this afternoon. I think at the end of the day, at this point, neither Kevin Durant, not that he has to apologize, the team clearly, privately and publicly, is on his side, nor Draymond Green wants to be the reason why they don't win a third straight championship. And I think once you take care of business, you win the third straight championship, Clay's a free agent. The year after, Draymond could be a free agent. Obviously, Kevin Durant could be a free agent at the end of the season, too. So whatever ills them, whatever will bubble to the surface, I think they just have to deal with it in June. You know, Kerr was a part of those Bulls teams that won those championships and then broke apart. I certainly think he understands what it's like to be at the very top and then realize how quickly it can all go away. But I think all of them realize to this point, not that you have to be buddy-buddy, it just never happens. You don't have to be best friends with everybody on every team. But I do think they realize the situation to say, and Clay said it in the locker room the night of that whole fiasco, that the only team that can beat the Warriors, they feel, is themselves. And I don't think Draymond wants to be seen as the guy that derailed a possible third straight title after he probably derailed the 2016 finals when he got tossed and essentially flipped the momentum of the series and allowed the Cavs to win it. So he's still dealing with some fallout from that. And I think Kevin Durant obviously is playing with now two straight NBA finals titles, two straight finals MVPs. And the list of guys that have won three straight finals MVPs has got to be tiny. So I think whatever happens, happens. But I think for the time being, they need to just keep it together. And then if it splinters, oh well, it splinters. But for the time being, I think they know that they're all better off together in the short term, long term TBA.
Yeah, we were with Zubin Mahente, who's not only not a B, he's not a C, D, E, or F. I've always said that about you, Zubin.
I will say this, Wolfgang. I've heard much worse. Not much. Much, much worse than that. But I don't know. If you have this, if you have the seven-second delay on, we can keep doing this. But otherwise, I guess we probably have to go back to stairs talking.
You're scaring me. I'm sweating. It's already hot in here, Zubin. I did have a question about Draymond Green, because he's not exactly known as a selfish guy on the offensive end. I mean, he gives up shots all the time. He'll pass the ball. He rebounds, blocks out, and plays tough defense and brings attitude. Did Durant think he was being selfish there, or just he made a mistake by not getting the ball? Or what do you think there, Zubin?
Yeah, I mean, I just think it was a one-game heat-of-the-moment type situation that bubbled over. Clearly, there's been some underpinnings and rumbling. I think the entire organization, frankly, is a little bit tired of Durant. Will he, won't he? Am I going to stay? Am I not? I'm going to keep my options open. And, oh, by the way, that's his right. It's his prerogative. But last week, when they had an update on the Chase Center, which is their brand-new $400 million arena, they made sure Kevin Durant got a private tour. Not Steph Curry, not Klay Thompson. When they had the shovel, when they put the shovel in the ground, who was there? Steve Kerr and Kevin Durant. Not Steph Curry, not Klay Thompson. I think it's one of those things where there's been rumblings for a while, and it just happened to come out in a public spectacle. I would guess, and you kind of heard David West intimate this last year when they won the final, that Steve Kerr had to put up with an unbelievable amount of stuff behind the scenes that never got out, which is surprising in today's media climate. Reporting on the NBA now, but I think you could put two and two together and say a lot of Durant's drama around the team wasn't helping. Now, Draymond's been the first to say, you got to remember, when they went to go get Durant, they won 73 games, then they went to go get Durant, and they called that excursion, you may remember, the Hamptons Five, where they all went to the Hamptons, where Durant was like renting a house and hearing pitches from teams, and the guy that was front and center leading that charge was Draymond Green. From Draymond's perspective, it's going to be interesting to see what they want to offer him. He's up for a supermax extension, not this season, but at the end of the 2020 season. And there's a lot of thinking in the league that because of the style of play, he's not a particularly big player, that his skills might erode just a little bit. He's obviously an incredible intangible player from the time he was at Michigan State and the way he stuffs the stat sheet for the Warriors, plus the leadership, plus he's got a little bit of dog in him that a lot of people say the Warriors don't have. He's a tough physical presence. But there's also a lot of data that says guys like him at his size, their skills tend to deteriorate. And look, the Warriors can go over the cap. They're going to have a new TV contract with Comcast Bay Area, much like the Cubs are set to cash in out where you guys are. They have a brand new privately financed $400 million arena, which the owners are going to make profit from in every single way since they built it themselves. But it stands to reason, how long do they want to keep this team together? Do they want to keep this team together to the point where they want a max contract for Curry, who's got it, a max contract for Durant, who would get it for sure if the Warriors wanted to give it to him, plus a max for Klay next summer, and possibly a max for Draymond the summer after that? The latter one seems very unlikely. I could see them doling out the max extension for Curry, which they already have, and to get Klay and to get Durant under the fold. But I think the odd man out there would be Draymond. But it just goes to show how badly they want to win, how much they're willing to keep it together, and the amount of money that is flowing into the organization, that having four max contract players with a luxury tax number that would be so eye-popping, it would be crazy, isn't out of the question. But I think the first thing they got to do is figure out what's going to happen with Durant next summer. But think about that. Think about four guys making in excess of $200 million on one team. Think about that.
It's absolutely crazy, and how the financials measure up and how that team's going to continue on to the future. It looks like a chance for a big run. Just got to keep everybody happy. All right, let's move from that into college football this weekend. Zubin, I posed this to Wolfgang earlier today. My question is, this week you get Notre Dame, Syracuse. All right, there's a good matchup, and obviously Syracuse being better adds to the intrigue along with undefeated Notre Dame. Iowa State, Texas is big, even on the Longhorn Network. It's an important game for a lot of different reasons. The ABC Saturday night game is Central Florida against Cincinnati. That shows you what this week is. And a big reason for it is what happens in the SEC, where most everybody doesn't play anybody of consequence this week. It's the layup before rivalry week. How bad is this for college football, for the SEC to basically take a bye week in the second to last weekend of the year?
I'm not going to call it so much of a bad week, because if this was a standard week in the SEC, UCF probably wouldn't be getting any shine. Iowa State and Texas might not be getting the marquee that it's getting if this was a ho-hum, just another crazy week in the SEC. But I think this is a small price to pay, because I'm sure you guys will remember, you know, the SEC once won seven straight national championships. That was ended, I believe, by Florida State and Jameis Winston. But they won seven straight SEC titles, and I don't think this is a huge reason they won those titles, but I certainly think an advantage in winning those titles is having this game played this week. I mean, most of the time before Alabama plays Auburn, they get a tune-up game, and I think the rest of the league is sort of adjusted that way as well. Other leagues have tried to do that. Scheduling's tough. When you're in a 14-team league, I got to give the SEC credit. Sometimes in terms of uniformity, this is probably just easier to do when you're trying to manipulate the schedules of 14 teams and then throw a non-conference game in November. But I think the league would say, yeah, we might not have the attention. I guess we'll only have the attention 14 of the 15 weeks of the season. That's basically what they're saying. And the one week where they won't have the attention is the week all of their teams can, quote-unquote, get right to make sure they can be ready for their arch rival and then obviously possibly playing in a conference title game. So I agree with you. It's not great for the sport. But for the SEC, the implementation of this game has made sure their best teams are ready for their biggest games at the biggest point of the season. So I think, from the league perspective, it's been a great, great, great development. For fans, it hasn't been great. But at the same token, you know, this actually gives a little more shine to, like I said, the Cyclones and the Longhorns, or a little more shine to UCF, who frankly has probably deserved it all season long. And UCLA-USC is not that interesting, but is Chip going to turn the corner? Is Klay going to be there? I think there's still enough good storylines to get us through, but I think the SEC was very calculating when they made this move. And at the end of the day, I think they would say, you know, 9 times out of 10, they're sure happy they instituted this. Not great for fans, but for the overall success of the league, I think having a bit of a respite at this point of the season before you hit December and January, pretty shrewd idea.
Yeah, Zubin, back when you were here, Iowa State versus Texas, how soon did you think Iowa State could be this relevant? Because I don't know if you can actually feel the buzz from here Because we can. We feel nervousness. We feel anxiety. We feel passion. It's very interesting. What do you think about Iowa State in this Texas game, Zubin?
I think two things. One, and I've told this to Trent before, this is how much things have changed for college football and changed for Iowa State in general. Wolfgang, when I was there, they were routinely, like, Big 12 games, they were not on TV. Like, yeah. Big 12 versus Big 12. Like, Baylor would play Iowa State, and I'd have to get my buddies on the phone in Waco. And then when, you know, Baylor came up here, they'd be stretching our resources thin to make sure we got, you know, their guys. And it's just amazing to think that this is where college football has now gone. So I think Iowa State, obviously, from a pedestal standpoint, has been great. Here's the other thing I would say to me that just separates this team, besides the fact that, you know, they haven't won, like, a conference road game from 91 to 99, and now they've won, like, 5 in, like, 13 months and all this. All those stats are great. But the thing that really separates it for me is I was there for the season where they what year was it, Trent? Was it 02 where they got all the way up to 9th in the country?
Yes. Yep. 2002 season.
Yeah, they were like 6-1, and then they kind of, you know, faltered toward the end. In the most successful of seasons, correct me if I'm wrong, when I was there, what I recall, either they were absolutely walloped by Oklahoma and Texas, mm-hmm. or they didn't play Oklahoma and Texas. It's one of those two things that was always happening. Either the schedule worked out in their favor, and they like finished 9-3 in the inside year, but they didn't really play anybody of ilk. And then when they started playing teams and finishing with a good record, even the handful of losses they would have, they were just blown out in those games. The beauty of the Big 12 now, in my opinion, is that because it's round robin, they're not ducking Texas anymore. They're not ducking Oklahoma anymore. So while you can look at some of those older Iowa State teams and say, yeah, you know, they were 9-3, but, you know, hey, look at those three losses. They just got walloped in those three games. Now you look at this team and say, yeah, they got three losses, but this looks like a completely different team. They're not ducking Oklahoma. They beat them last year. They played within 10 points this year. So to me, that's, Wolfgang, the biggest difference for Iowa State. It's the fact that you can't duck these opponents, because back in the day, when those Iowa State teams would finish with a record that they would be proud of, they would all just look below the surface, and you'd be like, well, is that really a 9-3 team? Or they weren't really competitive in each of their losses. Now with the way the league has the divisions gone and everybody's getting everybody, I think that's the true test of how good of a team you are. And that's why I would favor this iteration of Iowa State, taking nothing away from the other great teams, the Insight team in 2000 and some of the other teams that Coach Mack had. This team is running a much more full gauntlet, so to speak. And that's why I think things have really changed for this program. It's much harder, guys, to be Iowa State today than it was back then, and now they're thriving. So it's a tougher environment, and they're playing better. I mean, what more do you want?
Zubin, college basketball going on right now. Mentioned tonight we got Iowa against Oregon out there. Beforehand, UConn against Syracuse. We've seen Duke, just the explosion out of them to begin the season. It feels like it's setting up to be an entertaining college basketball season. Yet, for many people, it will always just be a one-month sport. It's about March Madness, maybe the conference tournaments beforehand, and at the very end, the regular season. What more can college basketball do to build itself up and become more than just, for many people, a one-month sport?
Well, I think they have to accentuate what's going on now with the Duke freshmen. When they go to the one-and-done in 2021 or 2022, whenever Silver pushes it through, it's going to be great for the kids because it's going to give them a financial windfall. It's probably going to be good for the NBA because they'll be taking more control over the feeder system, but it's going to be really bad for college basketball because in 2022, all these guys that are playing for Duke, they won't be at Duke. They'll be in the NBA. And the college game is going to be losing a ton of luster. I mean, at the end of the day, I'd rather have these, we're not going to get these guys for 4 years, but I'd rather have them for 1 year than not have them at all. And that's why I think right now, before we hit the one and done and Silver, who is probably one of the most powerful guys in sports, pushes this through, and I'm not saying he's wrong, right or wrong, once this thing goes through, the sport is going to be hurt. The sport is really, really going to take a pounding. So while we got these guys, let's enjoy them. How much are we invested in Duke? I'll tell you what. I was talking about this with my boss the other day. Every day, it's not a joke. Every day, we're in our Sports Center meetings that take place around 4:30 Eastern time when we work at night. Every day, the question is asked, whether Duke is playing or not, what are we doing with Duke today?
Wow. That,
it could be anything. For example, today's suggestion was that I threw out was Duke does not play a true road game until January 8th. I think they're the last team in America to actually play a real road game. So how will the freshmen react? I think that's at Wake Forest. So how will the freshmen react in a road game in the ACC when they've been playing neutral side or playing at home or playing at the Champions Classic or whatever the case may be? There's other couple of interesting stories. Bol Bol is fascinating. You'll see him tonight. I don't know if you guys have been watching. Georgetown has this high-flying white kid
named
Mac McClung.
Yes. Yeah, I love him.
This is the type of stuff, because we live in a highlight phone society, if some white guy is flying across the screen for Georgetown and he broke all of Allen Iverson's scoring records in Virginia and he's legit, people are going to get up and around for that. It's just like Jimmer or Redick or Lonzo Ball. These guys that just pop off the screen, no matter how long they stay, all the Duke kids. So I don't think there's anything wrong with showing Bol Bol every night, whether Oregon is ranked or not. Show Romeo Langford every night, no matter where IU is. Obviously show Duke every night. Show this McClung kid every night. Show Moses Brown at UCLA every night. Just accentuate these kids until you got them. You're right. It's really not even about the game. It's just about the players.
Yeah, Zubin, I love listening to some of these former NBA players that back in their day could dunk. I mean, I remember them flying through the air. And they're watching Zion Williamson and going, yo, I can't even make anything of that. Is that not fun hearing those guys talk about that?
Well, it's cool because generally speaking, what you hear from the old guys is like how much better they are than Zion Williamson, right? I mean, like, as soon as Duke had that great breakout game at the Champions Classic, immediately, it's like Weber, Rose, everybody came out. Oh, they never, you know, they couldn't beat us. They couldn't beat the Fab Five. I looked it up the other day. The Fab Five in their first year, they were like 11-7 in the Big Ten. You think Duke is going 11-7 in the ACC? Like, no way. So I think a lot of times what the old guard, you know, you see it on TNT with Barkley. I love Barkley, but you see it with a lot of the old guys. Yeah, they couldn't play in our day. They couldn't hang with us. They couldn't take the elbows we would throw in the lane. So it was somewhat actually refreshing to see some of these older guys say, and as Steve Kerr has said, you know, when he was asked to compare, because he's obviously the best person to ask, when he was asked to compare, you know, his Jordan Bulls to these Warriors teams, you know, Kerr is obviously a pretty wry guy, but he would say, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think I'd have to pick the Bulls because, you know, the technology goes on. Today's players are they're slower.
Yeah.
They don't have as much technology. The nutrition's not as good. The travel is worse. And I think he was just trying to say, like, listen, a lot of this is the product of your environment and time. And Zion Williamson is just lucky to be a young kid today, where he'll cash in more than some of his contemporaries have ever cashed in. And we have all the advantages of living in 2018 that you didn't when you were living in 1978.
Zubin, always love the conversation. Thank you so much for joining us today.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Zubin.
Zubin Mahente, ESPN, joining us as he does each and every week on The Drive. 1700 The Champ. You saw the dunk last night from Zion.
Golly, he made me giggle with that Steve Kerr thing. I had forgot that he had said that a number of years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we all get, you know, worse nutrition and worse you know, working out and all that stuff. We just get worse as athletes. Is that true over the history? Is that true?
Not quite true, no.
But it does. He makes a great point. It gets really old with the old guys. Every single time.
Yeah. Everyone does it. Everyone does.
I don't. You're looking at the guy that doesn't.
Well, I mean, you're still wearing your Boomer Sooner stuff. They haven't won a national title in over 15 years, so maybe you are living in the past. We're coming back. Boomer Sooner and Condon here as we continue 1700 The Champ. Final segment of the week as we continue on The Drive, 1700 The Champ. And as we're off tomorrow, well, I should say Wolfgang is off tomorrow. And because of that, we're going to make our picks a day early here. The way we do it, as we start with $1,000 of fake Monopoly money, we make our picks. You can divvy it up however you want. Have to put at minimum $100 on each game that you pick. We pick Iowa, Iowa State every week, and we go from there. But Wolfgang, you're already telling me that you made a mistake. I was gone last week, and you screwed it up.
Yeah, I only bet $900. I mean, you don't have to give me the opportunity. So I've got an extra pick for $1,100 if you want to make some money. I bet on the Iowa basketball game tonight if you want to hear that.
Oh,
if not, no biggie.
Okay.
No
All
biggie.
Right.
I don't need to do it.
All right, well, I'll allow it. Since you're going that route, I'll allow it. Let's start right there. Ducks, Hawkeyes, Iowa, a four-point dog. What do you have?
I don't get it. Oh, you want to go four? I found 3.5 at noon. Well, I can go four. That's fine.
Four is the consensus
I would still bet
number.
On it. Yes, oh, consensus. Yes. Now we're going consensus. I tell you what, man. You are tough to deal with, and well, I really apologize to your wife.
You found one number at one point in the afternoon, and all of a sudden that's a light. No, no.
At the website you tell me to go to, I buy and I sell, and that's what I do. Oregon minus four. That's fine. I'll go with minus four. I wouldn't change my pick anyway. I couldn't believe it. You couldn't believe it.
It's across the board four right now.
I'm talking to somebody that like texted me. I'm looking at Twitter. They literally cannot believe that they're about ready to put down their college education money on that stuff, and I'm like, stop that. Stop that. You're scaring me. But I will go $100 on Oregon minus the four, and I feel pretty good about that.
I'm right there with you. I'm heavy-handed. You know I actually do gamble. This isn't just fun. This is what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And by the way, 13-3 over the last 3 days now in college buckets against the spread for your boy TC. This is the time to shine. I am heavy-handed on the Ducks, and I'm also playing the over tonight. By the way, that's not going to work here.
How much is that, Trent?
It was 147, I want to say, something like okay. that. And I'm ready for final just in. Oregon 73, Iowa 71. Lose the bet. Don't hit the over. And, well, we'll be eating McDonald's for Thanksgiving in the Cotton household. Let's get into our picks for football, though. Bonus pick there for you with Wolfgang. This is how I'm divvying up my $1,000 this week. I got, let's see, I think eight different plays.
Okay.
Iowa, Illinois. Taking the Illini plus the 14.5. Can't believe in this Iowa team. They can run the football. Who knows? I'm not betting on Iowa the way that they've looked the last 3 weeks. So I'm taking the Illini. $100 there. Grab an Iowa State plus the three. Thought about going with the money line here. I think they are going to win this basketball game. But I'm going to grab the three for our purposes, and I'm going to put $100 on them. Another $100 game. I got the Hoosiers, Indiana, plus 28.5. They play everybody close. That seems like too many against Michigan, plus maybe a look-ahead spot for the Wolverines, obviously, with Ohio State on tap. I like the Hoosiers plus 28.5. And then Arizona. Not the Arizona Cardinals, no, the Arizona Wildcats. I'm grabbing that plus 10.5. Like that number there, and going to go with the Wildcats. So those are, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 picks, all for $100. I have that. Got some bigger ones to get into. But let's go over to you. Throw me a couple picks you got this week.
All right. I just looked. I was minus 14 on BetOnline on the VegasInsider.com. If you guys want to go check that out, there's about eight places that you can go and purchase. Most of it's 14.5, it looks like. There is one at the end, BetOnline, that's minus 14. Iowa minus 14.
BetOnline, that's not even a casino. That's not even a casino.
It's the far right one.
Yeah, it's... We're taking casinos here. We're talking about shopping.
How many weeks in, and you still have not explained this. I want it written down, word for word. I want it in Spanish, French, and Portuguese, please.
Well, I just, your line shopping bothers me.
Well, then I'm going to lower that, because if that's not the case, I was going to bet $200 on that.
Well, who are you betting?
I was going to bet on Iowa.
All right.
Will you let me have that?
Layer 14.
Let me tell you what's going to happen.
You're going to get pummeled here.
Let me tell you what's going to happen Monday morning. If Iowa doesn't beat Illinois by 2 touchdowns, or at least I don't lose money on that, there's going to be something. I likes me some Iowa football. I likes me some coaches over there and the players and the program been going there forever. If they can't win by more than 2 touchdowns, that's pathetic. And we are in worse shape than I thought, because I thought Iowa was actually good. Sorry about the we. Let's go to Ohio State. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take Ohio State minus the 14 at Maryland. And I'm going to go for $200 on that one, Trent. All right. I think Ohio State is getting some serious shade thrown their way. I think people have basically just given up on them. I'm feeling good about that, obviously betting $200. Let's go TCU plus the 2 at Baylor. I'm going to go $100 on that. I don't feel 100% confident about that, but I'm going to make that one of my bets.
How much you putting on there?
Just 100.
Okay.
And then let's go Michigan State at Nebraska. Michigan State minus 1. And I'm only going to go with 100. Michigan State's been pretty good with me. I don't know if that's the thing to do. Do you go with teams you kind of know or kind of don't know? I feel like I kind of know Michigan State, and they've been good to me. I know their quarterback looks like they kind of stink.
All right, I have another heavy-handed play here.
Okay.
I love this game. Kentucky. You've seen the Wildcats this year.
Yeah, they stunk last week, but I haven't seen them a ton, but go ahead.
Limited offensively. Season, I don't want to say going down the drain, but not where it once could be. After, of course, the loss to Georgia. They're playing, like most SEC teams, a crap team. Except it isn't. It's Middle Tennessee. In fact, we'll see Middle Tennessee next year making their way to Kinnick Stadium early on in the year.
So what's your pick? You got me intrigued, man.
I'm grabbing the Blue Raiders. I'm going with $200 on Middle Tennessee. Grab the 16.5 with confidence. I got one more in the college game before I get to my weekly teaser bets, and that is another $200 bet.
Okay.
Notre Dame in Yankee Stadium, a home game that they moved there to take on Syracuse in that ACC five games a year that they get. The number is 10.5. I like that. You know what I like even more? Making that big money line play.
Yeah, you do like that. That's true.
I'm taking Syracuse to upset the apple cart.
Oh, my gosh.
Plus 300 the number on the money line. Again, if Syracuse covers but doesn't win, I get nothing for our purposes here. I'm grabbing the orange. Plus 300, and I'm doing it for $200. That'll be a nice $600 profit if I can make this one happen. Let's go, Cuse. Dominate. Grew up Irish Catholic, and I hate Notre Dame. That maybe also is playing a part here. I'm taking the orange.
Okay.
All right, I got a couple more picks. Finish off, what do you got here?
Okay, we got Iowa State +3 at Texas. If you're going to give me 3 points, I'm going to bet on that. Give me $200 on that one, Trent.
Okay.
Then let's go Carolina Panthers -4 at Detroit. I'll go 100 on that. And you're probably going to hate this one, Trent. And I don't know how good I feel about this. I feel like the Vikings are coming on, but I feel like the Bears are pretty good too. So I don't feel good at this. Basically, what I'm doing here is picking the winner. Vikings +2.5 at Bears for $100.
All right, 2.5 with the Vikings for $100. That's the $1,000 in football wagers, an extra $100 for Wolfgang as he is jumping aboard with the Oregon Ducks tonight in his picks. All right, I got two left to go.
Okay.
Each for $100. Back to my 6-point teaser. And this is basically even money when you bet the 6-point teaser, and that's what I'm doing. Two-teamer, game one. One is college. Oklahoma State, take it up from 5.5 up to 11.5 at home against West Virginia. I'm going to take the Cowboys in that one. And Tulane. Yeah, Tulane, that's right. I'm going with the Green Wave. I'm bumping them up to 15 with the teaser bet. They got Houston. Ed Oliver has quit on the team. Houston, maybe heading the wrong way with Major Applewhite and Company. I will grab Tulane plus the 15 and Oklahoma State plus 11.5, my first teaser. Final teaser in the NFL. We're taking the Eagles.
Okay.
Up to 14.5, more than 2 touchdowns. It's in New Orleans, but I'm just, at some point, doesn't this Eagles team have to wake up? I'll take them up to 14.5, and then the other one, I'm taking the Chargers down to 1, -1 for the Chargers, my teaser. So those two teasers, my bets, I got the money line with Syracuse, Illinois, Iowa State, Middle Tennessee State, Indiana, and Arizona, my picks for the week. Wolfgang is up $1,200. I'm up $450. We're making you money. Let's do it again. Let's get out of here. Wolfgang, we'll see you on Monday.
Straight cash, homie. Let's keep making money for the people, Trent.
That's what we do. Coming up tomorrow, we got you covered here on 1700 The Champ. Myself and Ken Miller from 11 till 1, 1 until 2, Jimmy B and TC leading into you and I basketball tomorrow afternoon and the 4A championship game with Dowling Catholic looking for 6 in a row as they face off against undefeated Cedar Falls. Thanks to everybody out there for listening. Thursday night football tonight right around the corner, the Packers and the Seahawks. It's coming up next on 1700 The Champ.